We want to continue tonight pretty much in the vein of what we were doing this morning. I was somewhat nice this morning. I'm just going to be flat mean tonight. And let Brother Chapel come back then, and he'll be sweet again, and it'll all be okay. No, I don't have a mean bone in my body, but I do want to preach this evening from Hosea chapter 7, if you would turn there, please. Hosea chapter 7. I do want us to examine ourselves again this evening, and we'll take the same tact as this morning, but from a different passage, and maybe turn that thing and to our hearts and look at it from a little bit different perspective. But what we're trying to accomplish today is to challenge ourselves to look at ourselves. Hosea chapter 7, notice in verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me, and they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Strange passage. But one, I think, if we seek to understand tonight, can be helpful to us where we are. Let's pray and ask God's help. Lord, we come to you this evening and thank you for this opportunity. Lord, truly grateful for the opportunity to preach to these people. I pray that they would know this evening that as I preach this message, it is something that I use to examine my own heart. I pray, Lord, that we would just be real with you tonight. Being here and hearing this message is not fulfilling some ritual. It is searching for the reality of exposing our hearts before you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do that. And Lord, where your Holy Spirit speaks to us and convicts us, may we not in pride deny your speaking, but may we with true humility acknowledge, confess, and change. I pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In the Bible, gray hair is often a symbol of wisdom, the hoary head, a symbol of age and experience. But not always. And in this passage, I want you to understand when it says in verse 9, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. I want you to understand that gray hair is not a compliment. That gray hair is an indictment. What it is saying is this, that there is a subtle decay that is going on in Israel. They're not even aware of it, and even when God tries to speak to them about it, their pride keeps them from responding to the Lord, and they are decaying and decaying. Their spiritual strength is not what it once was. We are all going to physically decay. I am 107 years old tonight. I look pretty good, don't I? Here's the truth. I am not what I used to be. I cannot do the things I used to do physically. These parts, just like yours, are just going through a subtle process of decay. And though I can take glucosamine chondroitin and try to put the joints off a little bit, and I can try to do some other things with vitamins and this, that, and the other, here's the truth. This body is going the way of the earth. But I want you to understand this. Though I cannot stop the physical decay in my life, I dead well sure can stop the spiritual decay. I can be as strong for God on the day that He takes me home or takes me up as the day that I got saved in 1975. I can be on fire for the Lord the last week of my life as I was the first week of my saved life. I can be as hot for God when I am old as I was when I was a young believer, and I intend to be that way. But just as a physical decay can subtly take our bodies, so is the case that spiritual decay can subtly attack our spiritual life, and we don't even know it unless we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. Now that's the condition of Israel. Hosea sees Israel as a long way into the process of spiritual decay. And as Hosea is talking to them, I want you to notice four areas that I think are imperative for us. I used to worry about gray hair. I would take all I could get now. But here's the truth. Most of us, in our vanity, we want to rinse away the gray, you know? And we want to appear to be as young as we can. And I want you to understand, spiritually, we ought to be just as aware of gray hairs slipping into our spiritual life as we are gray hairs slipping into our head. And when we see them, I don't want you to get spiritual Grecian or furula, whatever it is. I want you to pluck it out. I want you to get rid of it. Now I want to describe for you four areas this evening that God just says to us as He's speaking to Israel, boy, this is something you've got to be on guard against. I want you to notice them with me. Number one was the gray hair of a false testimony. The gray hair of a false testimony. I want you to look at verse 8 again with me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. The meaning of that illustration was that Ephraim was two-faced. That Ephraim was something different on the inside than what he was portraying on the outside. And Hosea gives us this wonderful illustration of a cake not turned. Now, we may have to think a little bit about that. If you were reading in Hosea's day, you would have understood immediately what he was talking about, because bread was baked either in a stone oven or on a flat rock, a heated rock. And of course, the temperature wasn't even like in our ovens of the day, and there was no convection certainly. You couldn't put the bread in there and just walk away from it knowing that the timer would tell you in so many minutes that your bread was done outside, inside, and beautiful. You had to attend to it. You had to turn it and turn it and turn it. When it got hot on one side, you had to quick turn it to the other side so that it would get hot on that side. And it was hot on that side, you'd turn it back to the other side. And you had to give incredible attention lest you get a cake that was not turned. Lest you get a cake that was burnt on the bottom and hardly done on the top, or even worse, lest you get a piece of bread, a cake, that when you bit into, though it looked like it was done outside, it was nothing but mush on the inside. And Hosea is indicting Israel, Ephraim, the northern kingdom, and he is saying what you want people to think you are, what you are trying to appear to be, you are not in your heart. I don't want to give you a history lesson tonight, but I would remind you that Jeroboam had taken the 10 tribes and he had taken them north, and their capital was Samaria. And Jeroboam had a real fear. His fear was that those 10 tribes would always feel an allegiance to Jerusalem, and that they would want to make their pilgrimage back to Jerusalem and to worship in that beautiful temple. And so he said this, let's do this. I just don't want it to be too hard on you, so I'm going to build a replica of the temple at Dan and a replica of the temple at Bethel, and we're going to put in those idols, gods. They're going to appear to be like the temple, but we're going to call them Jehovah, but they're not going to be Jehovah. And incredibly, they did it. And so the people would go and they would pray in the name of Jehovah to a false god in a false temple, because they wanted the appearance but not the reality. Now, I don't want to be mean-spirited tonight, but I'll be honest with you. There is a way that we as believers today can come to that same place in our lives. Because we know what we should look like and what our lives should look like, we can get caught up in this thing where we do what we know we should do on the outside, when in truth it is not reality on the inside. Let me point out a few things. I have people at Heritage, I think we've resolved these things over the years, but I've had people that would walk in one door but not the other door because that person was at that other door. And they would come in smiling and just loving the Lord and anxious for what God was going to do today, and had a grudge in their heart towards someone that God couldn't penetrate with a saw or a drill. I've had people say amen when I announce a topic, when I know in their hearts what they're really saying is, oh me, not again. Is he going to preach on that again? I've seen people shake hands outside with a grudge inside. And I'm just saying that if we're not careful, folks, let's just tell ourselves the truth. Sometimes we know that things can lay in our heart and we will never give evidence of it on the outside, but we know it is on the inside, and it is a subtle thing, but it is a decaying thing to our spiritual strength. Years ago, when my boys were little, every Saturday morning at Heritage at 7:30, we have men's prayer meeting. And I would always take them with me, and they didn't pray too good, but they were glad to be with Dad, and they knew what came after. We would go to 7-Eleven. And I'm telling you, you can fix just about anything with a Slurpee. You can really make it an exciting day. And we would go to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee after men's prayer meeting and then go do some soul winning. Slurpee at 8:30 in the morning. Their mother was not excited about it, but it worked for the boys. Amen? And there was a beautiful oak tree outside this 7-Eleven. I don't know how it got there. I don't know who left it there, but it was one of those majestic oaks that was so wide in its girth, and it was like perfectly symmetrical, and it just spread out over that place, and it was just beautiful in every way. And I can remember mornings I'd take my boys and we'd come out of there. They'd have a Slurpee and I'd have a coffee, and I'd say, boys, I want to tell you something. Your dad wants to be like that oak tree, and more than anything, I want you to be like that oak tree. I want you guys to grow up strong. I want us to be able to protect Mom and Melissa, and I want us to be able to provide shelter. We want to grow. We want to be like that oak tree, guys. We want to be strong and firm, and we just want to provide shelter for people. Amen, amen, Dad. I will never forget this as long as I live, Brother Rule. A storm blew through our town. And we went to men's prayer meeting one Saturday morning, and that tree had fallen over, and it had fallen over because it was rotten on the inside. Man, I jerked my car into that parking lot. I said, boys, we're going to be late for prayer meeting, but we got to talk about this. I got them out of that car, and I said, your dad never wants to be like that oak tree. I don't want to be like that oak tree, and I don't want you to be like that oak tree. I don't want to look like we're one thing on the outside, and we're not what we say we are on the inside. Promise me, Chris, you won't be like that oak tree. Josh, promise me you won't be like that oak tree. He's about three. I don't know what an oak tree is. When we're fake inside, when our testimony is false, it gets exposed at some point. I want you to go back to verses 1 and 2 of chapter 7. God speaking, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and a troop of robbers spoil it without, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember, that I know those things. I know what they are inside. I hear what they say when others don't. I know what they think. I see their hearts. And God says, they may want to appear to be something, but I know their hearts. And may I say to you tonight that you and I have got to carefully examine ourselves, and we've got to say hard things to ourselves if we are false in our testimony. If we want to be known as one thing, but we know there's something held within that heart that needs to be different, needs to be changed. And I want to tell you, we need to get that thing out. We need to pluck that gray hair, because that thing will eventually eat our strength up. Here's number two. The gray hair of a fruitless life. First, the gray hair of a false testimony. Pluck it out. Be real. Number two is the gray hair of a fruitless life. Look at verse 9 again. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. What an arresting statement that is. I think what Hosea is saying to Israel, you're already noticing that what you once could do, you no longer could do. What was once prominent in your life is no longer prominent in your life. Things are slipping away. Listen to me, it's important. A consistent theme in the Word of God is that the loss of God's power is rarely obvious and violent, but more often it is a subtle process of decay. What do I mean by that? I mean this. Samson stood up to throw off his attackers. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit had departed and he wist not. He thought he could always do what he used to do, but there had been such a process of decay that the power of the Spirit of God was not in him any longer. And when he stood up one day, he was exposed as weak. I would remind you that King Saul remained as king long after God removed his hand from Saul, long after he had anointed David king. Saul didn't stop being king just because David was anointed. He was king for a long time, and yet God's hand was not upon him. Hey, we can go through the motions of what we used to do, but I would submit to you, we know as we go through those motions that it is not what it used to be. I would suggest to you that David was king of Israel for a full year before he was confronted about his sin with Bathsheba. Before Nathan confronted him, David would go off to temple. David would lead the singing. David would receive the acclaim of the people. And yet all the time for that year, he knew that What he once was, he no longer was. I would suggest to you that Ichabod was written over the temple, but services and sacrifices went right on. I'm simply saying to you that we can go through the motions and we can produce a result, but producing a result is not the same thing as spiritual fruitfulness. And I would also submit to you that as it's happening in our lives, we know it. We know when we cross over to producing a result instead of being spiritually fruitful. Instead, I would suggest to you that the truth of the loss of God's power has to be cited in subtle little things. I would suggest, too, the lack of appetite for that which is good. Remember when you used to sit down and read your Bible, study and pray, and God would speak to you from His Word? You remember those times when it was so real and it was almost as if you got chill bumps because it was like God was in the room talking to you because He was. Remember you would pray and you couldn't believe it, but God answered the prayer? And those times are not what they used to be. Things have slipped. Remember when services at church were just the greatest thing in the world? And now, even though you're faithful because you're expected and because you want to appear to be, you have these times when you tune out for a long period of time, or instead of being enjoyed, it's almost like it's endured. Service is forsaken. We don't sing like we used to. We don't do the things that we used to do. I'm simply saying to you, if you notice those things in your life, that's not a positive sign. You're not maturing in the Lord. You're decaying. It's the sign of coming fruitlessness. Not only a lack of appetite for that which is good, we begin to notice that our appetite for that which is evil is growing again. You become content with a lower standard of Christian living. You start to excuse it. You become flippant about faithfulness, maybe even flippant about sin. You become indifferent to conviction. And it's not something that you share with others. It's just subtle in your heart. You know it. You sense it. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not a positive thing. You're not becoming an experienced and mature believer. You're becoming a decayed, fruitless Christian. And it's subtle, and it doesn't happen violently. It takes time. It happens over time. And then we come to a time where we say, let's be revived, and we get confronted with the truth that our testimony, we've got things in there that we know are not on the inside as we're trying to portray on the outside. And we know that we are not as fruitful, though we are producing a result. We are not fruitful in the way we were. And I would suggest to you that revival is time to stop it. Pluck that hair out of your head. Here's number three. The gray hair of callousness. Now please stay with me. Look at verse 10. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. God says, I've come to you through other prophets. I'm coming to you through Hosea, and I'm saying to you, you're a cake not turned. You know there are things in your heart that don't belong there. Your fruitfulness is slipping. Yes, you still produce a result, but you know it's not the same. It's not spiritual fruit. It's fleshly results. And then God adds this. God says, you know what scares me for you? In your pride, you won't admit it. I come and I speak to you, God says. I come and I reveal it to you. But the pride of Israel and the pride of believers wants to believe that we can just continue as we are, that we're good enough, that we've done enough, and we don't have to respond to the Spirit's conviction. You see, sin makes us insensitive. They had heard it. And they had heard it by the greatest preachers in all of Israel, just like you've heard it by the greatest preachers in all of America. You've heard it all before. Yeah, the truth is, you used to get convicted. Remember that time when you would run down to the altar almost every service? Remember that? Boy, aren't you glad you've matured out of that? God help us. God help us. Somebody comes in and preaches something and your heart's convicted and you say to yourself, oh, I've been to the altar 50 times for that. I've done that and it just doesn't work for me, or I just can't do that, or I just can't this, that, or the other. And I've heard it by better than you, Brother Edwards, and I'm not doing it. Well, I want to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit of God is gracious enough to walk into this room and down your row and stop at your seat and say, I am talking to you. Do not let your pride say, not me, Lord. I'm just saying, if God, regardless of who's preaching, is gracious enough to speak to us, respond, obey. Pluck that gray hair out of your head and refuse to be insensitive. Refuse to shut out the Spirit of God. Revival is when we lose the pride and humble our heart and invite Him in. Well, I've been in church 30 years. Well, I got you beat. I've been there 42. I preach the messages and get myself under conviction. As a matter of fact, I tell people, most messages that I preach, I write because God convicts me about them, and then I figure, well, you guys are like me, so I'll share them with you. I was sitting right over about here in leadership conference this past June. And I forget who was preaching. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter what the topic. I need it. Boy, God just worked me over. And I knew God had spoken to me. And I'm slow, it takes me a minute to get up. By the time I got up, the aisles were full and this was full. And I thought, I'm an old man. God knows my heart. I'm not going. About that moment, God said, I know your heart and you really need to go. I forced my way out. I kicked some kids out of my way and said, get out of my way. God marvelously worked in my heart that night because I laid aside the excuses and I laid aside the pride that keeps us responding. God help us to become so professional and so formal that we become churches of dry eyes and empty altars and no decisions. You know what revival is? Revival is us. Revival doesn't start with the lost. It doesn't start with the marginal church member. It doesn't start with the one a day or one a week crowd. You know where revival starts? It starts with the people of Lancaster who came this morning, went to Connection Group, did some job, worked on the campus, came back on Sunday night, have a King James Bible open, and are listening. That's where revival starts. I know who I'm preaching to. It starts with us. The people who will honestly look and say, boy, I'm holding that thing in my heart. My testimony is not where it needs to be. Man, I'm not as close to the Lord as I once was, and I know that I'm still producing results. Look at my numbers, but I know it is not the spiritual fruit that it once was. And I know this, that unless God can bring a preacher in here that can rattle my door and do it in a special, neat, cool way, I just don't respond anymore. Pull that stinking gray hair out of your head. And if God speaks, respond. Here's number four, quickly. The gray hair of silliness. Look at verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Now you got to get a hold of this. They're like a silly dove, Ephraim. Ephraim's in trouble. And they are so out of whack with God, they don't call on God, they call Egypt and Assyria. Hey, here's a good idea. We're God's people, but let's depend on Egypt to help us. Hey, here's a great idea. We're God's people. God's crying out for us. God is giving us an opportunity to repent. Let's call out to Assyria. Let's go to our enemies, those who hate us, want to destroy us. They were silly. I have noticed something. When people are not where they need to be with God, they always think something new is needed. I know what we need. We need a new kind of music. I know what we need. We need a new version of the Bible. I know what we need. We need a new service lineup that eliminates most of them. I know what we need. I need a new husband or wife. Well, we're silly. Do you know what we truly need? A revival in the old paths. A revival of walking with God. A revival of being careful with our testimony and being open and real with God. We need a revival of fruitfulness and serving the Lord as we once served. And we need a revival of a heart that is tender and open and ready to respond. And a heart that says, I want to lock in on God. The old paths. Now, let me be done and say this. How, preacher, how do I get that? I want you to notice in verse 14. Why did Ephraim fail? Because they have not cried unto me with their heart. Ephraim, Jeroboam, Israel, northern kingdom, became so stubborn. So stubborn in their hearts that they would not cry to God. God says, you know, if I speak to you and you want it to be as it once was, and you want to sense my presence and my power and my blessing, here's what you do. Cry out to me for it. Cry out to me for it. Now, what's that take? It takes an acknowledgement that we have a need. And it takes a volitional choice, a will, a choice of will to say, God, will you restore me? Will you revive me? I don't want to walk around with a hard heart. I don't want to walk around with a stubbornness in my spirit. I don't want to walk around enduring what I used to enjoy. I don't want to walk around just producing what my knowledge and what my own strength can produce. God, I want to see you work miraculously in my bus. I want to see you work miraculously in my Sunday school. I want to see you work miraculously in my soul winning, in my family. God, I don't want what I can produce. I want what you can produce. And I need you to revive me, to restore me. And I'm crying out to you. I'm not as young as I used to be. That's for sure. But I do know this. I want to go out strong. I don't want to be one of those people who used to. I don't want to be one of those people who just sit on a shelf. And folks, it's a subtle process of decay that takes us there. Who's this message for? It's for Lancaster Baptist Church. It's for teenagers. It's for parents with young children. It's for senior citizens. There's no season of life where we can just be stubborn and not respond to the Lord. May God help us. If we have a gray hair, a a false testimony, if our fruitfulness is waning, if it's been so long since God has been able to convict our heart, that's not a good thing. And by the way, that's not a failure of preaching. That's called hardening of the arteries of the heart. And we just ought to get it right. Because if you're not careful, you'll be like a silly dove saying, well, I think we ought to go here. I think we ought to do this. I don't think that works. I just think we need to revive, cry out to the Lord, revive my heart.